Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. And with me in the studio once again, Beth Wood, North Carolina State Auditor, now serving her second term in office. If you'd like to ask her a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. And of course, you can always tweet us at CoastlineHQR. And Beth Wood, we have an anonymous questioner. Again, lots of anonymous questions this show. And this person writes, I teach part-time at Cape Fear Community College. My salary is less than $15 an hour with no benefits. I cannot tell you how discouraged I am when I hear about raises and misappropriation of funds. What would you say to this person?
They have a right to be angry. Again, I just believe, the state of North Carolina is functioning off of a $44 billion budget, and the community colleges get over $1 billion. And again, if monies are being spent inappropriately, somebody's got to take up that slack. And so for the true operations and the people who are struggling to make a living, you're right, that's not only coming out of your pocket from a taxpayer's perspective, but then if you've got a job in one of these institutions and you're being underpaid, it's really a double whammy.
And related to that question, Jim writes, hate to beat a dead horse, but were these increases and bonuses given to friends of the past president? Were they just given to a few people? Were they given to well-deserved teachers who are grossly underpaid in this region? That's a great question. And will this information be made public at some point in the future?
The raises were given to, I can't say that they were friends of the former president, and can't really go into all of the relationships. But again, that was, the recommendation is supposed to come from the president to the board. And then the board looks at the community colleges as a whole and says, this is how we're going to spend our pot of money this year. So the bottom line was he took away the board's ability to give those raises where they may have been more necessary or not give them at all and keep them in the operations of the community college. And so the point here is that the former president did not leave these decisions up to the board, and the report finds out that they find it interesting that the former president said didn't realize that that's what he was supposed to do. However, in 2014, he did it the right way.
You're saying in 2013, when he gave these raises and promotions without getting board approval, he said he didn't know.
Right.
And then the following year,
he turned right around, and before he gave any raises, before he put it in the annual budget, before he gave any promotions, he received the board approval. And certainly we're in there in 2015. So it wasn't because anybody was raising any red flags from the state auditor's office. This was just the normal operations. One year he didn't do it, said he didn't know he was supposed to, but the next year he does.
One of the problems when you were talking about this particular conclusion in your investigative report, you said on March 8th, 2013, and as a result of a general fund shortfall at the state level, the governor asked state agencies to implement several cost-saving measures. The most pertinent cost-saving measure with regards to the college was to limit compensation increases to only those needed for promotions and reclassifications, where there's clear documentation of increased responsibilities and the expectation that agency accountability and performance will be improved. So in other words, it's not just a question of sliding this past the board and not giving them a chance to decide on it.
But there was a directive from the governor to all of us, state agencies, universities, community colleges. We have a budget shortfall. You're going to have to revert money back to fix that budget shortfall or to fill it in. And so there was a directive from the governor to not give raises and promotions. And pretty much the directive to all of us was, except in cases where it's critical to retaining or you've had to give additional responsibilities to somebody.
And you also broke it out in your report. And if I'm remembering correctly, one of the raises was at 18 or 19%. Another one was 14%. I mean, we're not talking about cost of living increases here. We're talking about some pretty hefty raises when other government employees were getting just cost of living increases at the time, or not even that.
We were not getting cost of living increases. There were not raises given to state employees, university, community colleges. And so you're right, these are raises that were being given out at a time, again, when we didn't have the money and there was a directive. It was so bad, we had a directive from the governor not to accept in critical cases.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with North Carolina State Auditor Beth Wood and Eula from Southport. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you, Rachel. Another really good show.
I've had the
radio turned down, so I don't know if you've addressed this issue. But for the people who did receive raises, have any of them come forward from, I guess, an ethical and a moral standpoint and knowing that it was wrong? Have they decided that they do not want to accept this raise?
Not that I am aware of. That's not to say that it didn't happen, but not that I am aware of.
That's a great question, Eula. Thanks so much for calling in. And we have Bob from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi. I was curious about the legalities of funding the Arts Center via tax bonds. And how does the Arts Center work with the community college in actually educating students? I would think that money should have gone toward education programs more than an Arts Center.
Bob, that's a good question. Beth Wood, I'm not sure how familiar you are with the funding situation, the bond situation, and you're shaking your head, but voters recently approved bonds, I think twice, for Cape Fear Community College. I hope I have that right. And the Humanities and Fine Arts Center, of course, because it's a government-funded institution, was built by this taxpayer money, this bond money. And some people have asked the same question that Bob has asked. How do you justify, how does a brand new Humanities and Fine Arts Center, it's a gorgeous facility, fit with the mission of a community college?
I apologize. That is not a question that I am able to answer today, but I am certainly making notes, and it is an issue that we can take a look at.
Okay, Bob, thanks so much for your call. That is a question that has come up before. And if, I mean, this is speculation here, but if you were to determine that the mission of such a center wasn't an appropriate use of bond money, then what would happen?
Again, that's a hard question. A lot of legalities going into that, and it's just something I'd rather not speculate on or delve into at this point, but certainly we'll take a look into.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with North Carolina State Auditor Beth Wood about the functions of her office, about the recent investigative report done on former CFCC College President Ted Spring. And Beth Wood, you've said that citizen input has so much to do with what's happening in your office right now. And you mentioned earlier an investigation that you had done on one particular department within the Department of Health and Human Services.
Exactly.
How much of your office's functioning does DHHS is a huge organization. What are some of the other components of that you have to stay on top of?
In looking at DHHS, the state of North Carolina receives $23 billion from the federal government, federal grants, in the form of Medicaid and food stamps and monies to build our roads and bridges and monies for clean water and air. But 68% of those federal grants, which again are our tax dollars, are being spent by the Department of Health and Human Services. It is the biggest department in state government. We have another $21 billion in state appropriations. They're our state tax dollars. And DHHS is the second biggest pot of those state tax dollars. So we spend a lot of time over there. $13 billion in Medicaid spending alone. about 10 or 11 from the feds and another $3 billion from our state dollars are being spent in the Medicaid program alone. So my staff is over there auditing the federal grant monies. We're also looking at the integrity of the Medicaid program, who's eligible, who's not, and it is the responsibility of DHHS to determine that the eligibility determinations are being done well. So again, we're following up to make sure that how they do that, they contract a lot of this work out. Are they monitoring their contracts? They're spending hundreds of millions of dollars in contract money. Are they monitoring their contractors as well as they should? We have audits to show that not. And we are looking also at the new computer systems that have been failing since they went live. The NCTRAC system, which is the system that processes Medicaid payments for 1.5 million participants, 77,000 providers, doctors, dentists, hospitals, in-home health care providers, and labs. And we've seen that that computer system was not ready to go live. Our office put out an audit that said the system was not ready to go live, that it would very possible to fail when it tried to go live, and it did. We also are looking at the NC FAST, which is where all the eligibility determinations for women and infant children, TANF, food stamps, Medicaid, they run through this particular system. And of course, if you've been listening to the news, you found that for the food stamps, that people's food stamps or participants' food stamps have been held up for 3 and 4 months. There's such a backlog with this new system that wasn't either properly tested or properly implemented. We're still trying to determine that. But again, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars running through that agency. So we have quite a few teams in there constantly looking at what's going on in that agency.
How many employees do you have in the state auditor's office?
I have 173 employees. I have 150 auditors slash investigators, about 14 investigators, about 18 staff members that perform performance audits, so not very many to do this very critical work.
You're listening to Coastline. We have just a few minutes left in the show talking with North Carolina State Auditor Beth Wood. And Nick, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a comment to make regarding the previous caller's suggestion that the legality of the bond payments for the new art center at the Cape Fear Community College should be questioned. It seems to me that he, and I'm frankly you too, neglected to emphasize that it's not just the art center. You did say it's the humanities, but you didn't question or emphasize this. It is a teaching building that the students go there to learn, yes, arts, but also humanities, and that the community college serves in a very important function for bringing students through into the four-year institutions of UNC in general, and that it's not just for things, for a training program, but rather this is an academic facility for the community at large. Plus, of course, the people voted to fund it.
That's right. And Nick, I appreciate your fleshing out that point. And I'm asking the questions. I'm not making the cases here. So I appreciate you doing that. You're talking about the fact that the CFCC function, part of its mission, is as a feeder to UNCW. That's a component.
Well, UNCW, UNC Chapel Hill, and mm-hmm. North Carolina State, all of the UNC system. Mm-hmm. The Cape Fear Community College students, they head on to those institutions, and they need to have the academic facilities to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Nick, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
All right. You're listening to Coastline, talking with North Carolina State Auditor Beth Wood. Beth Wood, when you do find embezzlement within a government-funded organization or some kind of serious financial impropriety, is that typically something that you discover through the audit process or another way?
For those types of situations, the vast majority are a tip, and then we investigate the allegation and then substantiate that there is alleged illegal inappropriate things that are happening. In that case, we will turn those allegations and our evidence to support what we found over to the SBI, the FBI, or the district attorney, some cases even the Department of Revenue and the IRS, and let them further an investigation, which then may result in indictments and charges.
And do you ever find that financial improprieties are just a lack of understanding about what appropriate protocol is? Or is it a mixed bag, or is it usually lack of education about the right way to do something?
The improprieties is usually intent when, you know, it leads to charges or to be turned over to another authority. But yes, we do run into things that are reportable, but at the same time, it does appear that it was just somebody that didn't know the proper way or didn't understand completely what they should be doing. So we do run into that too.
And so in the case of this sector of DHHS, this department that had the vending machine program for blind people, was that a case of people just not really understanding how they needed to go about doing this in an efficient way? Was that a teaching opportunity?
It was definitely a teaching opportunity. However, we are moving to more of, if I give you this money, what are you going to do with it? And then how did you measure against that? And that is a practice that back when this program was started, it was not necessarily the practice. And so this is new to state government.
That's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank North Carolina State Auditor Beth Wood for joining us today. Thanks also to you, our listeners, and those of you who called and emailed your comments. Join us for Coastline every Wednesday at 12:06 here on HQR News 91.3 FM. Coastline is produced by Isabel Shepherd. Our technical director is Ken Campbell. Our webmaster is Melissa Stone. If you missed part of this show, we'll post it on our website, whqr.org, later today, or download the podcast from iTunes. Thanks again for listening. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn for Coastline.